Well, we have sort of an arts conversation for you now. We've done a lot of classical conversations with musicians and composers and what have you, but now we have a different kind of artist, and that is Matt Wadle. Matt has a brand new exhibit that's opening at the Toledo Museum of Art in November, and Matt has joined us to talk about that. I'm Brett Kressel. Mary Claire Murphy is here, and Matt Wadle is also here. Welcome, Matt.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
This is called Phenomenal Debris, right? The exhibit is called that. And you work with clay and other ceramics and glass and lots of different materials to create these wonderfully colorful pieces of art. I wonder if we can start maybe with a little background on you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my dad's a potter. And so I grew up within the kind of field of ceramics. You know, maybe I don't really work with glaze, but I don't work with glass, but I work with glaze, which is similar.
Yeah.
But so as like a glass painting medium on clay. So I grew up with that as a foundation for self, for identity in many ways, of clay being just a material of curiosity. And as I grew up, that kind of became the medium of my practice as a sculptor.
Yeah. Now, you're based right now in Ohio, right? You're from Ohio.
I'm from Western Colorado.
Okay.
And, my wife's family is from Southeast Ohio, and we ended up here, raised our two kids here, and fell in love with it.
How did this come about, this exhibit at Toledo Museum of Art?
I had an exhibition at Ellie Louver Gallery in Venice, California in 2018. And the curators came to that exhibition, and that really was the foundation for kind of the building blocks of this exhibition in Toledo. So a lot of those works, that was at a period of time when my ideas of mark making, my ideas of gesture making were becoming abstracted as I was exploring just what it means to make a mark as an individual.
Yeah.
And so that period of time was super intense. It was super exploratory and became the foundation for the different ideas behind this exhibition in Toledo.
Well, you speak of those ideas, and you've got some really interesting ideas about art in general and how people interpret it. I mean, when they go to the museum, they're going to see these great big pieces, these, I guess you would call them sculptures. How would you characterize those?
There's sculptures in the traditional sense, you know, of their objects in space. The medium that I use is kind of a sculptural medium of clay, which is something that you can squish, you know, and have this kind of printmaking material that then is memory throughout time, right, of gesture, of curiosity. But then that transforms into painting. A lot of the boundaries between painting and recording, printmaking, sculpture, that all kind of collapses in many ways around just being curious and being exploratory of the world. So these objects, they are exploring nature, basically self in nature, you know, body in nature. So there's figures, there's plants, there's the exploration of my own psychology as I explore art history and mark making and argue with things that interrupt me from moving forward, right? I ask questions of material that then teach me about the world and give me a foundation to continue forward and keep challenging my concept of craft and value and devotion and curiosity, caretaking concepts that are rooted in acts of gardening and just nature itself. In humanity. So like that becomes the rich material. And so the objects are really the debris of this other work going on, I've been thinking. So that's what the title of the exhibition, which is Phenomenal Debris, which the curator Diane Wright took out of some of the words that I was saying about my practice, which the point, you know, is the exploration of self, the exploration of the world, the healing taking place, like that's the point, right? And then the kind of the objects become the debris of that, the kind of the memory of that pursuit taking place, you know, and which is memory exploring the concept of nature, exploring the fragility of nature, the fragility of the mind, and that being just memory of culture inevitably as they travel through, you know, time.
One of the things that strike me is that your art is very personal. It tells a story about you. It you know, is sampled from different times in your career and artistic development. How much of you is in each of these works? How much of it speaks to you biographically?
I think they all do, because it's like psychological recording in a way. It's kind of anthropology, and it's exploring why do we see images in things? Like, why have we evolved to see images in trees or in the stars or in the ground, in the field, in silhouettes, you know? And so that just becomes this like subject matter of exploring and recording how the mind moves forward. And so there's kind of an anthropological and nature to that kind of recording. And so inevitably it's a self-portrait of my own psychology, but it's also just getting at other universals that about being creative in the world and being curious in the world and being pushing oneself forward, evolving as oneself in the world. So then it just becomes like more an embodiment of that attempt at culture to move forward, mm-hmm. You know?
I love the idea of working with materials that are very earthy and very connected.
Right, because it's the ground, you know, beneath you. It's like, what is this material that I'm standing on and squishing it, you know? And that squish is a question, but that squish is also a printmaking. You know, it's a memory of that question being asked, you know? And so it's like, what is this space that we inhabit? You know, what is my past? What is our past, you know, collectively? And doing these gestures, these simple gestures of asking questions, go back to origin of us, you know?
Yeah.
Of like, so that gesture, you connect to the past in ways that maybe emotionally, you know, by asking that question, you connect, to things mm-hmm. that were much bigger than us, you know?
Yeah.
And for me. Personally, in my present self, right?
Well, it's a touchstone of sorts because everybody will bring their own, you know, for lack of a better word, their own baggage to what they see, you know, with your art.
But it's not baggage. I don't think it's baggage. It's like it's the work that they're doing in their work, in their world, right?
Right.
And so my hope is that memory becomes just a part of then their reaction, their work, their building blocks as they navigate space and think about material differently, think about creative gesture differently. Mm. So hopefully, like, they're just more building blocks. Well, I think creatively, sound, music, taste, you know, ceremony, those are all these, like, cultural building blocks that we, and reminders, you know, of this larger thing that we're doing as a culture.
Well, I wanted to bring Mary Claire in because Mary Claire is also a creator. She's mm-hmm. a composer and has written a number of works. And it's interesting to see this kind of, you know, cross genre going on here between
That's
music
mm-hmm.
and art. I wonder, what comes to mind for you, Mary Claire, when Matt is talking?
I was wondering about your creative process. Maybe if you want to kind of walk us through, you know, when you have the, you know, initial idea for a project and how you get started and how you kind of bring it to fruition. I'm just kind of curious to hear how that goes for you.
I think it's like vulnerability and space. So like, I think my work has always been about creating the context where I can be fully alive as an individual and fully vulnerable and recording these feelings and states that are just truth, that have truth in them. And so like there, one can't come with ideas into that space. I mean, or with they're not premeditated, the works, you know, it's a discovery. Mm-hmm. And so coming into a space free of that, where am I now? Asking that question, like, who am I now? What does this space feel like? Like, mm-hmm. how can I move forward? And then inevitably, quickly, something emerges, you know, language emerges, visual language, emotive language. And I think those are all the languages that I've grew up kind of as tools, because I've always struggled with written language, I think, or kind of words, the language of words,
sure,
you know?
Sure, sure.
And I've always had a different kind of emotive language that I've connected to ever since I was a child. And so that then becomes a medium. And so I think my work is about being present, setting up conditions for gestures to take place, making a plinth, leaving the studio, mm-hmm. coming back, and okay, what exists here today? Making a gesture, leaving, coming back. What is this? You know, who am? What is, you know, what is this work that is taking place? And then it, then the gestures just unfold and respond to each other. With clay, they shrink, they dry, the water disappears. Mm-hmm. You know, so the living nature of them in the act of sculpting disappears, and they become mm-hmm. a kind of the shell in a different object, right? And then you fire it, it's even different. So then you have this object out of the kiln that you have to then reapproach as like, okay, how do I contend with this new thing?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been recently, I've been glazing and realizing that like my emotions are what dictates color. Like if I'm listening to music, or if I'm listening to just the birds, or contending with grief or longing or curiosity or urgency or working through states, that dictates where the colors, how the colors respond to the form. I see purples or the color of bruising, you know, taking mm-hmm. place or shifting, kind of pushing in a form there for some reason. It's giving me that knowledge there. Like, and it's more about recording that color as an emotive state of kind of mm-hmm. language.
Yeah, it's so interesting to hear about the mindfulness that you have when you approach this and how that creates space for the artwork to grow and become just in the moment.
Right. And then it's about trust.
Yeah, interesting. Right? What is the moment that you feel like, or is there a moment when you realize, okay, this is ready to be fired and in the kiln? Because I feel like whenever I compose songs, it's always like I'm always fiddling with this or that, and I never quite know when to call it finished.
Right.
Do you ever get, you know, the sense of, right, this is done, I've completed
sometimes
my work
here. Sometimes you finish a piece, and sometimes it finishes you.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think with clay and glazing, there's a couple of different types of works in the studio. One idea is putting glaze on a form and firing it. And with glaze, you're painting in grays and these other hues. You might be putting on yellow, but it's gray, you
mm-hmm.
know? Or you might be putting on blue, but it's like a shade of green.
Interesting.
You know, or black and it's green. So you're painting, like I am painting yellow, but you're painting visually like mm-hmm. white or gray. So you're as you're doing this, I'm yellow here, purple here, gray here. These colors shift together. They need to be kind of like dissolving here. And that's all this fictional image that you're constructing in your mind. It's not mm-hmm. taking place in front of you. And so you're building this world of an object that you imagine, that you long for, that you think is taking place. And then you put it into the kiln, and inevitably when it comes out, it's a number of degrees just different, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I have to let go of that image that I've constructed, because the kiln is so, it can tear things apart, you know, things mm-hmm. can just be destroyed in that space. It's such an intense kind of furnace of heat and shrinkage and just intensity that it has to withstand. So then it comes out and you're just, and then it's more about embracing what you know, what you don't know. And a lot of these works are just fired once as kind of a record keeping of that. Mm-hmm. It's important for me not to cover up mistake, you know, or to kind of deny my vulnerability or my kind of the fallibility
mm-hmm.
as like allow fallibility to be human and to be present in kind of this memory of this argument moving forward, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just fired once as like, as record keeping, I guess.
It seems very meta to me in some ways, and almost with a primitive aspect to it, like looking mm-hmm. at pictures of your work, Matt, I see a little bit of, you know, almost cubist elements coming in there. And I'm talking about like your drawings and mm-hmm. things like that. It seems to be very connected, all of your art, not just the stuff you make out of earthen-type materials, but it seems like you're always thinking about outside the box, as it were. You're always thinking about what is behind and what is in front of everything that's happening right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think about that with gardening and cooking and baking.
Everything,
you know, and yeah. cleaning my studio and having my work in my periphery, not looking at it. Just not looking at it, but living with it, tending to my space is an act of caretaking, which allows me to understand my work objectively. So there's all these different states of like navigating the practice of kind of creative being present, or like with my children who I homeschool, which is a full-time job, you know, since over the past 3 years. And then that becomes this space, I think. That's been the biggest influence on my practice, to kind of reframe how I understand art and creative gesture and what the meaning is, the true value of creative practice. Mm. You know, when I allow space for them and I see them just like in delight and curiosity and just like wowed by the things they discover, like then that's the point. Like, it's not really about the object, you know, it's this exploration and curiosity of the world, you know, as we navigate and move forward. And it's like, wow. They are reminders of that for me in my practice, because there's so much baggage with craft history or clay as not sculpture, or hierarchies within painting and sculpture that are just in the way, in many ways, of getting away from the kind of origin of like what creativity actually can do in society, and the impact that it can have on people and the healing that needs to take place in communities and ourselves.
Yeah. We're talking with artist Matt Wadle, whose exhibition Phenomenal Debris is at Toledo Museum of Art in November. And Matt, I'm looking at the book that they're handing out. I guess they're doing this slightly differently in the way that your artwork is displayed. They're not putting you don't walk in and see it all up on the wall with the name of what it is and what it's about. Right. But people have this little booklet and they can listen to you, right, through introductions.
There's an audio recording. They've actually taken text from some writing that I've been doing over the 3 years that's on the wall. And then they actually had me do some writing in the space. During the pandemic, I've been trying to think about my walls as like a kind of ability to record too. So if when I'm in like a state of my work, I might come across a philosophy or a marker, language that encapsulates some kind of bridge that I'm trying to kind of step over or work through. And so I've been kind of scribbling those on the wall because I lose things. I lose papers. I lose my keys. But when I write it on the wall, it's there, you know, it stays put so that when I'm in that state again, I'm looking for that memory of like where I had gotten to philosophically, I can kind of pull from them. And so during the exhibition, they took some of those off the wall, or they highlighted some of these kind of points that I was working through, and we kind of brought them into the gallery space.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, that's the essence of creativity, you know, that you're encouraging everybody to have that artistic experience.
Right. Keep a notebook, you know, keep something to write down. And the idea that our phones are just these amazing communication devices, you know, I think that's why you maybe bring up the idea of Meta. It's like now too, it's a communication device. It's memory. And I use my phone constantly to kind of record thoughts. And it's just the most efficient communication device we've constructed, you know. And so to try to figure out how to use that as a studio practice and record thoughts. And some people just need a pencil and paper, though.
Yeah.
Now, many of the works in this exhibit are just very large in terms of actual physical size. How do you use scale to communicate these different ideas that you're trying to express?
Right. I think a lot of my work encompasses kind of body space, which is kind of psychological body space, so my kiln is the space in which I can stretch my arms out and stretch them to the side and move freely as an individual. And so it's kind of, there's a performative nature to sculpting, just like music, right? Mm-hmm. But it's generally in solace, right? So like having room for breath to take place. And so that generally is the space of, it's like a 7-foot by 7-foot cube, basically. Mm-hmm. That's my kiln. But then outside of that, I make larger work. Then there's these moments of just fragility and smaller works that just hold sometimes so much greater resonance than the larger works, right? Mm-hmm. And because it's, they can be gentler on your mind, on your back, on your hands, like you can cradle them, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's a different, I work in different scales, just depending on, space and states and, where I'm at. My daughter's got me I make dolls for her, you know, to paint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Out of ceramics or?
We get a bunch of colored porcelain and we just kind of squish it and play with it. And
nice.
She's usually getting me to step outside of myself to discover more exciting things like fireflies and bugs, you know, and
right.
in the garden. And yeah.
Well, I mean, a lot of your, especially your sculptures are abstract, right? And I'm looking through this book. There are 132 different pieces exhibited here, ranging from, you know, portraits, pastel on paper, to right. the huge sculptures that Mary Claire was talking about. Mm-hmm. And one thing that unites all of these works, aside from, you know, what we've been talking about, your philosophy of art, is the sense of color and the sense of decay as well that kind of plays into how you use color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In terms of like as you argue with things or as I was making petals for a long time, and there would be like a systematic nature to it. It would, and that seemed to be that started to be kind of an imprisonment, you know, where the repetition became an imprisonment, you know, and my hands started to hurt. My hands needed to be softer. My hands needed to touch the clay differently. My mind was needing to deal with different topics, you know, so as I started to kind of touch clay differently and softer, it became more about just gesture and less about kind of this systematic kind of petal structure, plant form, representational plant form, right? It became about gesture. And those gestures become that, I guess that's the language of abstraction because it's exploring mark making
yeah.
in space and just the exploration of material. So it's not really abstraction. It's just material being squished, you know, and the deliciousness of that and material being rolled out and 80 pounds of coil trying to be picked up by myself in the studio and applied to this object. So it's about the accumulation of material. I've been thinking about abstraction as this vehicle for images to emerge from, as like as one would maybe drifting off to sleep, see be in the kind of semi-dream state or hear children's laughter, you know, whenever you're drifting off to sleep, or looking into the trees, you know, like
yeah.
that's where, in my opinion, it's kind of this origin of like where mythology, like origin mythology came from,
yeah.
you know, of like contending with fears and fragility and having these kind of images populate your space as like, yeah, that's the basis of mythology.
So that, like, it's part of the shared human experience in
right,
a way.
Yeah. Right. And so I don't know if it's, they're not really abstract either. They're recordings. And so some of them might, they're representational recordings of images seen, you know? And so in many ways, it's kind of, it's a form, all abstraction is a form of like representation, right? Of space, presence, or rendering a form, an emotive form, right?
Yeah.
I was just looking actually at some different works that you have of stoneware and porcelain, and I saw that one of your pieces uses whipped porcelain.
Right.
What is whipped porcelain?
With glaze, you put it on the form, and then the mark making can be the color melting in the heat, mm-hmm. right? So that the mark making of the glaze dripping isn't a brush stroke, it's just the glaze dripping, right? And there was a point where I was frustrated when I was making mark makings in the studio and having this whole world of exploration that the viewer never could engage with. So I knew there was this disconnect between my practice, mm-hmm. and I wanted the color exploration to be the same as the viewer saw. And so I started to add pigments to the porcelain, basically throwing chunks of porcelain in a bucket and whipping it and blending it with color and then scooping it out. It's like the consistency of cream cheese.
Oh,
colored, and it's just delicious. Not taste wise, right? But just the feeling. It has the same palette and deliciousness of material. And so then it becomes just like the exploration of this kind of colored cream cheese, whipped cream cheese that you're exploring an obliterating form, and arguing with form, arguing with gesture.
You've brought taste and texture into the mix because you're engaging yet another one of our senses, which is the idea of, you know, you're making my mouth water talking about
right.
cream cheese.
And some of the glazes, you know, in the studio, you make these glazes and they're just delicious, you know, and then you paint with this delicious material. The clay has a smell to it, right?
Yeah.
Of earth or iron, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can talk all about your philosophy and your art all day long, but probably the best thing for folks to do if they're interested in this is to visit your exhibit at the Toledo Museum of Art. It's called Phenomenal Debris by our guest, Matt Waddle, who is in town, not only exhibiting your work, but also guiding people through the process of absorbing and seeing and interacting with your art.
Of the pieces in this exhibit, is there one that really stands out to you as something that's especially personal or meaningful in some way? And I know that's probably hard with all these pieces that are so, of course, important to you, but is there one that really stands out to you?
I think there's two. I think the idea that I could show my paintings, that the museum saw, I never thought that I would show them. You know, they were all in a grouping in my studio for quite a while, and the idea that they put that out there, I'm so grateful of, to be able to see them together. But mostly there's a series of two benches that are in the show that I made during the pandemic, and they're called mourning benches, like MOU, the act of mourning, right? And it's just a space of, for me, they were as objects, a space where I was kind of working through my own work as an individual, as gesture. So like I'd seen this form, it then emerged into a bench, and then sitting at the end, like the gesture making was me asking the work how to move forward in space, right? Mm-hmm. How to shed the burdens that are keeping me from being human, right? And that as mark making, that is like the origin of why the intentionality behind that mark making is this kind of work taking place, serious work, you know? It's cultural work, this self, our evolution, our attempt at trying to be present and be active and work through so that we can approach the many kind of challenging things that, you know, we face in the world. Mm-hmm.
The exhibit is called Phenomenal Debris, all the works by Matt Waddle, who has agreed to come talk with us today. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks,
super
Matt.
Grateful.